Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to this installment of the Steelers Morning Podcast. My name is Brian Giardo, and good enough to join us again is Scott Allen. You heard him on our podcast last week. He was good enough to join us again. Scott, we're just going to get right back at it. Busy day in Steelers free agency on Tuesday. The team signed Broncos tackle 10-year veteran Ryan Harris to a 2-year deal worth just under $4 million. Harris, it's unknown at this moment if he's going to be slated to start. I would guess he's going to be in competition with Alejandro Villanueva at left tackle. So we're definitely going to discuss that, discuss Kelvin Beachum, the Steelers' old tackle, what his plans could be. Mike Wallace, he signed with a new team. Antoine Blake, he had a busy day today. The Steelers' draft and how it's been impacted by free agency. And then, obviously, the Martavis Bryant situation. Scott and I will give you our 2 cents on whether or not it was a good decision for the Steelers to retain him despite his 1-year suspension for substance abuse. But, Scott, let's get right at it. Ryan Harris, that was one of the guys the Steelers had been talking with. They've been talking to 3 tackles over the last 2 weeks of free agency, and they brought in Harris today, and are on Tuesday, rather, and they made sure that he did not leave without signing a contract. Do you like that signing, and how do you see him fitting in on the Steelers' offensive line? Trying to make sure we have Scott here on the line here. Hello, Scott. Well, it looks like we may have some technical difficulties with Scott, but we'll make sure we get him on the air as soon as possible. Scott, are you there, sir?
Yeah, can you hear me now, Brian?
I can hear you now. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, we were just talking about Ryan Harris, so I don't know if you wanted to chime in on that.
Oh, yeah, it's good to be here with you again, Brian. You know, Ryan Harris, I'm thinking it goes with what you said the other day about going the way, but, you know, possibly being a starter now, this guy can come in and give him the competition, and both of those guys starting at left tackle. I'm pretty sure we're solidified at right tackle with Gilbert, but I'm thinking this is a chance for Villanueva to prove himself against the guy who's done it, been there, done that kind of thing. I think it was just under $4 million that he signed for 2 years. You know, he is 31 years old. So I think this could be some good competition for Villanueva to see if he can fill that starting role, or, you know, if Harris steps up and he takes it. You know, I still think that there's possibilities in the draft, but if they want to go with Villanueva, this would certainly help cause some competition for him.
Well, and you make a good point, because I know that the Steelers, you know, they've been talking, they were obviously, you know, expressed interest in Taylor Decker from Ohio State. They were at Buckeyes Pro Day on Friday. That's one player that they made sure they spoke to. So that's a good point you brought up. The Steelers still might go with a younger lineman, but they're in a win now mode. And, you know, I think right now they like Villanueva. They definitely want to see what he brings to the table in year 2 and see how much he grows from year 1. But I think the Steelers overall, they don't want to take any chances with their offensive line. I mean, Marcus Gilbert, we talked about it last time we had you on the show, Scott. He did very well against Von Miller. Both times the Steelers faced Denver last season. You've got Marquise Pouncey, the All-Pro, coming back. Now, I don't know if they're going to keep Doug Legursky. He's one of their unsigned free agents as we speak. They still have Cody Wallace, who filled in and did pretty well last year for Pouncey. They have David DeCastro, who has become, along with Pouncey, you know, the best lineman the Steelers have. He was an All-Pro last year. So I agree with you. I think for the Steelers, this is a power move. That they just want to make sure they have the best offensive line possible for the short term for Big Ben. And are you surprised the Steelers are you know, continue to go offense here in the free agency? My thinking is they want to sign for use the offense or the free agency season for the offense and the NFL draft for the defense. Are you in a agreement with that, or do you just think it's coincidence and the Steelers are just getting the best players available in free agency?
Well, like we were talking about on the last time, you know, this is supposed to be a defensive back rich draft and defensive down lineman. I hear Mike Mayock mention that all the time on NFL Network how deep it is, and he was mentioning it during the combine. The Steelers are always, you know, looking to find those, you know, diamonds in the rough in free agency, not spend too much money, but kind of get a guy who can come in and contribute. I think we're going to see that with Darius Green. I think Harris has the possibility of that. You know, there's still a couple people out there. You know, Prince Amukamara is out there. He's only 26 years old. He's a cornerback. Patrick Robinson, San Diego. Now he might want a little more money. He's 28 years old. But there's a few other guys that are still out there. Omar Bolden from Denver. I know he got hurt in our playoff game, but, you know, there's somebody that could be the free safety they're looking for. If, you know, he comes off the PCL tear. I think it was a slight tear he had. So there's still other people out there. You know, it's still early in, you know, the Steelers' terms of looking at free agents. We don't always make that big splash at the beginning. But, you know, I think there's still some possibilities there to get some defensive guys. Terrence Knighton's out there. You know, there's still some people that could be had. For, it just depends on the price and what we're willing to spend.
You're right. And, you know, the one thing you kind of notice with free agency is that it's a methodical thing, and it's definitely a dance that takes place between teams, free, you know, free agents, their agents. You know, it's not. I mean, when you just, if you just, you know, if you followed this Harris situation, I mean, he had talked to the Steelers, then he visited with them, then he signed with them. But at the same time, you know, Russell Okung, Seahawks tackle, it looks like he might stay. Just go ahead and stay in Seattle. Those are kind of the newer developments today. The Steelers talking to a San Diego tackle, Kerrison. So, you know, it's just one of those situations where everything worked out. I mean, Harris. I think Okung, you know, and I don't have any insider information, I think Okung was the guy they really wanted, but I think Harris, you know, just fit the bill. I mean, money and, you know, it was also reported that Harris is going to, you know, he's going to keep his house in Denver, but he's excited about, as he said on Twitter, he's excited about the future in Pittsburgh. And what I like about Harris is a lot of times one of the risks with free agents are you don't know their mental makeup. Are they money-driven guys? Are they stat-driven guys? Or are they team and winning-driven guys? Well, when you sign a guy that just won a Super Bowl, obviously, as long as they didn't lose their hunger after winning one, they're going to have the same kind of drive. And I think when you look at Ryan Harris, you know, people might be asking out there, well, he just won a Super Bowl. He likes Denver. Why did he leave? Well, if you followed free agency, you know, the Broncos have been gutted. I mean, yeah, they kept Von Miller, they kept C.J. Anderson, but they've lost, you know, Osweiler, who was slated to be the starter. They lost a couple other, you know, key parts of their defense, and now they've lost their starting left tackle. So I think he sees what the Steelers are building, and he sees what's happening in Denver. And, you know, this is a guy that's 31 years old, so he doesn't want to play. I would imagine this, he's going to play out this two-year deal, and that's going to be it for him. So what better way to finish your career then try to help another quarterback win a Super Bowl, and that could be part of Ryan Harris's legacy. Hey, I was a part of two offensive lines, and I protected the blind sides of two of the three best quarterbacks of my generation outside of Tom Brady. So this is, I think, for all sides around, this was a good signing. And, you know, I know we both feel the same way about Villanueva. I think, you know, he's definitely going to be in the Steelers' plans, but if they, you know, if he doesn't beat out Harris, then you know, he could definitely still be a swinging tackle and still help out the Steelers, other places. What do you think about Beachum? It seems like he's done in Pittsburgh, played there 4 years, has the ACL injury. I mean, it's not a done deal, but it just seems like now he's virtually gone. He's talked to Jacksonville. He's talked to Baltimore. Are you okay with the Steelers losing Beachum?
Yeah, I think at this point, you know, a lot of people, myself included, were excited when we heard the name, you know, Russell Okung possibly coming in. You know, he was championship caliber. You know, he had beast mode running behind him. I think he was hurt some there, but not a lot. But, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, Beachum, you know, you got two tackles now. Gilbert's pretty much solidified on that right side. I would be surprised if he came back, but you never say never. Depends on the deal or what he gets elsewhere. But, you know, I know that there was talk of them possibly wanting to move him along the line again, but, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, moving on in our conversation here on the Steelers Morning Podcast with Scott Allen and Brian Diardo. Speaking of other free agents, Eric Weddle signed a four-year, pretty, I would say, lucrative deal with the Ravens. The Steelers were reportedly in the running, but then it came out that they really weren't. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reported that the Steelers reached out to Weddle's agent, and I don't think there was much movement after that. And then he obviously went ahead and went with the Ravens. And when you see the deal he signed with, it was upwards of $20 million, I think either 26 or 28 over $4 million, and I think there were some incentives or signing bonuses, obviously. That was just too rich for the Steelers' blood, especially when you look at the fact the Steelers already signed Green. They already were going to sign a tackle. You already knew going into yesterday after, you know, the weekend the Steelers had meeting with three different tackles that the odds were they were going to sign one before the middle of this week. My opinion was they just didn't sign Weddle for the money. I mean, do you see him being a big loss, or do you just think it's just, hey, the Steelers put, you know, they drew a line in the sand, they stuck with it, and that's business?
Yeah, I think the Steelers drew a line in the sand. I mean, $13 million guaranteed, you know, 31 years old. Like I said the last time we talked, we need a guy who can cover. I'm not sure he's that safety that's going to be able to cover people. I know, I'm looking for a safety. I know a lot of people won't like this name, but Reggie Nelson. Reggie Nelson, I'm not sure what his status is still. I'm sure he's probably not going to become a Steeler, but, you know, you watch that guy play, he can hit and he can cover it as a safety. And, you know, that's what I think a lot of people are looking for. There's some other guys, you know, I mentioned Omar Bolden. I don't know how he's going to be from Denver with his injury, but he's still free agent. These are guys you don't have to break the bank for. I think Weddle was looking for, you know, the best deal for him, and I believe he got it. Like I said, there's some other guys that might be able to make the transition from corner to safety that are out there, and you might not have to break the bank. We still got Doran Grant. I talked to him becoming a safety. But, yeah, I'm not thinking that, you know, that's not signing Weddle means, well, we can't go to the Super Bowl. And I don't necessarily think Weddle signing with Baltimore makes them a Super Bowl contender either. So I think that's
pretty much,
you
make some
good
points, Scott. Right. You make some good points. You know, Weddle had injuries last year. I mean, he was pretty much a non-factor. He didn't play in the game Steelers, you know, when they faced San Diego back in week five. And, you know, you're taking a risk. And, man, to sign a guy that's, you know, entering his 10th season, kind of like Paul Wall with the regard that he plays close to the line of scrimmage, he's a physical presence. Eventually those guys started to run out of steam. And I remember on this last podcast, yeah, I mean, Troy retired at 33 years old, and you know, what was it, 2009 is when Troy started to get those injuries. So Troy was, what, 28 years old back then. So, you know, Weddle has stayed healthy longer than Troy, but eventually it happens to everybody, especially a guy that's played that physical, and now he's reaching year number 10 of his career. Obviously, as soon as you saw the deal, you knew why Pittsburgh didn't sign him, and I don't think the Steelers made a mistake. And when you talked about breaking the bank, that's exactly what the Steelers haven't done so far in free agency. According to Mark Caboli of the Trib Review, the Steelers have signed 10 free agents in the last 2 months, and 9 are expected to contribute significantly in next year. And their total 2016 cap hit is less than $15 million. So if you can sign 10 free agents, 9 guys expected to play a big role in next year's team, and you can have less than $15 million against the cap. I mean, you look at what the deals they did. Now, Green is a little bit more of a risk, but this is pretty much no risk with Harris. I mean, worst case scenario, this guy is really good depth for your offensive line. This is a proven veteran that, hey, he's going to finish his career in Pittsburgh. He already won a ring. Now he's going to help the Steelers win another one. And the thing I love the most is that no one is talking about that much, is that the Broncos continue to get gutted in free agency. You look at the Steelers, the Steelers re-signed everybody they wanted to this point, and they're letting, I mean, there hasn't been anybody they really wanted that they've let get away. I mean, they wanted Okung, but he's going to stay in Seattle that's how it's looking, and they didn't want to pay too much for Weddle. So I think in general, the Steelers are doing good things so far in free agency. But let's keep the ball rolling here. We discussed Harris, Beecham, Villanueva. Let's talk about those hated Ratbirds, the Ravens. So they got Weddle, and then today they signed Mike Wallace, who had 97 less catches than Antonio Brown and less receiving yards, almost less receiving yards, than D'Angelo Williams last season. What do you make of this signing? I know there were some Steeler fans that wanted Wallace. I personally am more than okay with him not coming back to Pittsburgh. What are your thoughts on him resurfacing in Baltimore and the Steelers going to play him twice a year?
Yeah, I don't believe Wallace was going to come back to Pittsburgh. I think we've got the Wheatman coach there, and I think that just would have caused more of a disconnect between those two guys, knowing you're bringing Wallace back, and the price. Who knows what he would have been asking for? But since Wallace has left Pittsburgh, he's shown nothing at Miami. I mean, it might have been his quarterback. Minnesota didn't really know how to use him, and they had Norv Turner as offensive coordinator. And, I think him going to Baltimore is a good fit for him. The quarterback, play there is much better than the other two places that he was at. And I think that will help Baltimore. But, going deep, throwing it deep, but, they still need somebody to run the slant, and that's where he struggled. Coming over the middle, I think we're still good at where Pittsburgh's at. I don't think Mike Wallace would have helped us get anywhere we needed or wanted to be.
I agree with you, Scott. And this is kind of honestly here nor there, but I'm going to talk about it anyways. Super Bowl 45 to me kind of did it with Mike Wallace. I think if we had 2015 Antonio Brown and 2010 we beat Green Bay in the Super Bowl. Not saying we were better than Green Bay, but if you remember Green Bay, Jordy Nelson, there were a lot of drop balls by the Packers in the second half, and they pretty much really helped the Steelers get back into that game. And I think if we have a more dynamic number one, Wallace was fine. He was fine. I mean, he was a good receiver. He was never Antonio Brown. He was never even Emmanuel Sanders, what he's become. He's never become that guy. And I think he's, like you said, he's just a one-trick pony. He always has been. I mean, yeah, he can run. I mean, I remember in 45, the Steelers tried to do with Wallace what they tried to do with Holmes two years earlier against the Cardinals, bubble screens, and that's just not Wallace's game. And I remember going into that last drive against Green Bay thinking, this is – I really didn't have much confidence. And it was totally different than 2 years earlier when Santonio, who didn't have the stats, I don't think that Wallace had to that point. I remember thinking, we have a great chance because you just knew what Santonio could do. And I know you and me are both, from Ohio, so we saw what Holmes could do at Ohio State. But he's never had that confidence in him. And you're right, I mean, he definitely didn't have the same quarterback support that he had at Pittsburgh. And I think if we would have brought him back, he may have done some good things. But yeah, to me, just the whole retread, and we did that with Plexico Burress, didn't work out. I don't know. My opinion, he was gone 4 years ago, and he should just stay where he's at. I wish him the best of luck. I have no ill will towards him. I'm sure you don't either, but I agree with you.
Right.
Just keep continuity, and let's just figure it out with someone else. Speaking of that, Antoine Blake, the Steelers' embattled cornerback, spoke with New England today. Are you good with the Steelers losing him and potentially losing him to a team that they're going to probably compete with to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl?
Yes, and that's the simple answer that I'll give you with that. I don't think losing Blake is going to hurt our defense. I think we kept the guy that we wanted in Gay, and I think Blake is – free to go elsewhere. Like I said, I think this draft is full of potential. Golson will be coming off his injury this year. And, I think he is free to look. And if Pittsburgh wants to bring him back, that's their decision. But as a fan, I think that, he'll do fine wherever he's at.
Okay, no, I like that, Scott. That wasn't attacking him. You're being nicer to him than most Steeler fans are. My thoughts on Blake is this. I wouldn't mind if he came back, and I'm also okay with him not. I'm very on the fence with him, but for whatever reason, I feel like if we lose him, that might come back to haunt us. Just from the standpoint that I'd like his aggressiveness. If you remember, back in our first win of the season, when everybody was pretty much down on our defense and down on our secondary early in that game, Vernon Davis, the 49ers Pro Bowl tight end, caught a pass near our sidelines or tried to catch a pass near our sideline, and Blake blew him up. And that was really the first, like, nice defensive play that the 2015 Steelers had. And in that game, Blake had 11 tackles. He had a nice tackle in the backfield of Carlos Hyde. He had 12 tackles in the win against the Cardinals. He had that pick six against San Diego. Yes, he did play bad at times. And, yes, there was that three-week stretch against Oakland, Cleveland, Seattle where he was pretty horrid. But I do like the fact that he played with the injured finger, the broken thumb, not the finger. But he played through those injuries. He didn't make complaints. He had a nice interception in the playoff game. He played well in the playoffs. The Steelers secondary, I believe, only gave up one passing touchdown in two playoff games, albeit it was against an aging Peyton Manning and a backup in A.J. McCarron. But to me, I don't know. To me, I feel like I wouldn't mind if he would have come back. You know, I feel like, you know, obviously there's something in Ross Cockrell that the Steelers like more than Blake. But I don't know. I feel like we still need to sign one more mainstay from last year's secondary. Like, I think right now, because Cortez Allen really didn't play, we're not going to re-sign Brandon Boykin, who still hasn't none of the Steelers' 15 free agents have signed with anybody. I don't know if that's surprising to you. That's surprising to me. It's been almost a full week. They've all been on the market. No one has gotten anything from another team. But I don't know. To me, I would like to see the team either bring back Blake or bring back Will Allen. I mean, to me personally, because as of now, the only guys that we have back from last year is Golden, who only started a handful of games in relief of Allen last year, Cockrell, who, again, was a backup for the most part, and then William Gay. So to me, I would like to bring back either Blake or Allen just from the continuity, consistency standpoint. Do you agree that we might need to bring back just someone else, or do you just you're good with what they've got and you want to see what else they can get, whether it's in free agency with, Prince from New York or just in the draft, just bulk up on secondary guys?
I would have liked to see him keep McCain from last year, but that didn't happen, and that's one of the reasons we brought in Cockrell. But I think Cockrell would have more potential for me to build on his second year. Who did you say Blake was it Detroit? But he was looking at him.
New England.
Did we play New England?
I think
next
Detroit
year?
Was looking at him too, but New England today.
I would like to see those matchups. I understand your consistency part of it, but we need to upgrade in the secondary, and if that's a knock on him, then it is. But I think they got the veteran that they wanted to still be there in Gay to help Olsen and whoever else they get and whoever else they may bring in. Like I said, if he comes back, that's totally on what management wants to do, but I'd like to see him, give somebody else a try. From what I saw last year, there were a lot of bad, runs, like you said, the Seattle game. I mean, there was too much, missed tackles, too many, opportunities that they gave up big plays in that secondary. And, I get understanding the system and those things, but I think we might be able to find somebody else out there.
No, I agree, and you made a good point with Cinquez Golston. We're going to have Golston coming back. We're going to have Cortez Allen coming back, I would assume. We're going to have Blake. We got a lot – I'm not Blake, I'm sorry, William Gay. We got a lot of guys coming back. Maybe the secondary, and they might sign well on. I mean, I believe he was a late signing last year, so you never know. It might be one – and I don't honestly think Will Allen is going to get much bite from anyone else because of his age and, he was a little – I don't want to say injury prone, but he definitely suffered through some injuries last year, which promoted Robert Golden into playing more. I would say the only other thing, and then I'll put it to bed on Blake in the secondary, I did also like his, he plays special teams. He was probably our best gunner in 2013 and 2014. So he will definitely be missed in terms of special teams. I don't think he did much special teams last year. So I don't know. I guess I'm coming to the light. But I did like his physicality, and you know, I'm always one of those people that I don't want to jump on someone after 1 year, because last year was his first true season starting. I think he had one previous start before last year, and he started every game last year, including the playoffs, so 18 starts. I don't think that's long enough to, you know, to value someone's ability, but who knows? And, it's just one of those things where we were 30th in the league in pass defense, and that's just not good enough, and someone has to pay, and it might be Blake. But, again, hopefully he resurfaces somewhere else and he does well there. We wish him the best, just like we would Mike Wallace or anybody else that leaves the Steelers on good terms. But the last thing I want to discuss,
right,
we've got about, you know, four and a half minutes left on the show. Martavis Bryant, that was the talk of Monday. It came out on Tuesday that he's officially he was removed from the Steelers' active roster. He's in the, I think they call it the vetted commissioners list. So he's definitely in the doghouse, as everyone knows, and he's going to miss the entire season. He has to forfeit his $600,000 contract he's slated to make this season. He's on the Steelers roster contractually until 2018, and the Steelers, I think, are also going to get back his six-figure signing bonus that he was also going to receive. Do you like, and it seems like, based on Kevin Colbert's press release on Monday, the team is going to retain Bryant for now. Do you like that, or would you have rather seen the Steelers make a firm stand and release him after this is, again, the fourth or fifth issue he's had with substance abuse?
Yeah, I think we can look up to Cleveland to see how that turns out. You know, we don't want a Josh Gordon situation. I think they should probably hold on to him at this point, give him one more chance, but you know, Coates was drafted last year as an insurance for his four-game suspension. I think you got to give other people opportunities when this stuff happens. You just can't guarantee, you know, Brian, hey, we're going to hold on to you a year, and you'll have your number two spot waiting for you. You know, Wheaton played hungry last year. It was nice to see him come around. You know, that obviously they signed Hayward Bay. He wants a chance. He plays special teams. And I think Coates deserves a chance as long as – you know, everything pans out for him, you know, and if you need a possession guy for a year to fill in for Bryant that's got size, you know, I'm not saying this guy's got the speed to run the entire offense that we run, but if you need a third and short or third and five, third and six, you know, Marquez Colston for a year, he's big, he can catch, he's still out there, probably could be a veteran's minimum. But I also like Shaquem Phillips. From the practice squad, he had a great preseason last year, good preseason. And, you know, he's 6'2", and, you know, maybe he'll make the best of this opportunity. So anytime, you know, someone does something like this that, you know, is detrimental to their team, there's chances for other people to step up. And it makes more sense, too, while, you know, that they were – Pittsburgh was talking to Braxton Miller, which surprised me. Before the announcement, now it doesn't surprise me after the announcement. Personally, I think Braxton, you know, I wouldn't go high second round on him, maybe a third or fourth round, but he'll probably be gone before that. But, you know, this is time for other people to get their chance when, you know, situations like this happen.
You make a lot of good points. I think the Shaquem Phillips thing is a great point. I know him and Tyler Murphy kind of battled it out there to try to get a roster spot. I think Murphy's gone, but Phillips is still in that practice squad. And I like what you said. He's 6'2". My only concern with Wheaton and all these guys, you got a bunch of small receivers. I know the Steelers won the Super Bowl in 05 with no really tall receivers. I think Nate Washington was their tallest receiver back then. He was, I think, what, their third receiver with Antoine and Randall L. and Hines Ward. So the Steelers have won Super Bowls before with primarily small receivers. And I agree with you. I think it makes sense for them to keep him now. And I think another thing we didn't bring up, it's good for morale of the team to show the team that, hey, we're behind you, you know, and we're not going to condone what you're doing. But you know, Martavis has been around for 2 years. In all accounts, he's a good guy. I think if he was a jerk or if there were domestic issues with, like Santonio had or other issues, he'd be gone. I think it's just a drug issue and a substance abuse issue. It's not hard drugs from what I've heard. It's just marijuana, not, you know, shedding, you know, light on marijuana, just saying that's the extent of it. So I think the Steelers are handling it well, and I agree with you. I think when he comes back, the Steelers are going to make him earn his keep. He's going to start probably behind everybody and have to work his way up. So, hey, Scott, thanks again for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Steelers Morning Podcast. Make sure to check out More of our work on Pittsburgh Steelers on 24/7 Sports on Facebook and also pit.247sports.com. Have a great day, and as always, it's a great day to be a Steelers fan.